Guys, can we talk about hats? We're all wearing hats today.
We are, yeah. What are you advertising?
I don't know. It's just a hat.
I'm not advertising. I'm showing support.
That was a dig.
And me.
Yeah, that was a dig.
Oh, yeah.
I'm showing support.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's smart.
I have a question about hats.
Mm-hmm.
I've been wearing. I think the listener would find or the watcher would find this more interesting than the episode. I know I do. I don't know why. Just general conversation about things like hats.
Than the Sunny episode?
Yeah,
the Sunny episode's hilarious.
I'm not commenting on that. Yeah, I just talking about. I've noticed that I'm having the most fun when we're just talking about hats or things of that nature.
Of that nature, yeah.
I like the balance. There's a good balance because I do like when we start going in depth in terms of what we were thinking about why we made a choice that we made. And I think that's interesting for the listener or watcher.
This is why the show works. I have an idea. You're like, I don't like that. Let's do this other thing. And you're like, I see validity in both of those. Let's just see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then we just kind of find a happy medium.
Yeah, but that's what I just said. I said, I see validity in both. Well, hold on a second. You indicated to him.
But that's because we've had this conversation before and that's something I've said to you. No, what about hats?
What about, yeah, get started, into it.
Okay, so my whole life I've worn hats, but I've turned the bill the way that yours is, right?
Yeah.
And so I started seeing people wearing the flat bill, and I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I can pull that off. But I do think it looks cool. I see Charlie wears, he's not wearing one today, really.
He can do it either way.
But he can go either way.
He goes
the flat, and I think it looks pretty cool. Now, I don't know if it looks cool because it seems like we're like 25-year-olds, like trying to look. And is it sad maybe that a 44-year-old is going to wear a flat brim hat? Seems like a young person's game. Mm. I'm not sure, but I do like this hat.
Is this the question? Are you wondering?
Yeah, I'm wondering, can I pull off? Because I've now noticed that I've gone out and bought a couple of flat bill hats, and I enjoy them.
Can you take your headphones off for a second?
Yeah.
I like the flat bill hat.
I think it's a head shape thing. I think it looks good.
I like
it
both. Doesn't,
I can't do it. My head is very oval shaped. So when I do the flat brim thing, the whole thing's too round. So it like presses into my temples. I can't
do
that.
Can I see this on you?
Sure.
Let's see.
I'm gonna help Glenn out because he's one-handed.
Caitlin says the same thing and then she'll put on a hat like that and it looks cool.
This is, okay.
See, that looks cool to me.
Now he can do it. You can do either.
You can make that work.
Here's the thing. Really? I think the thing with fashion in general, it's just about the confidence of the choice. You know?
Yeah, are you going all the way
in? Look at my man Jonah Hill out there.
Yes.
Wearing whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
And by the way, it looks great.
He looks great.
The more sort of out. Yeah, I'm sorry, Glenn. He needs help.
Yeah. Sorry. Now, Glenn, I think you can wear that flat bill hat all day. In fact, I think it looks really good.
You like the flat. Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of wish you would take in a picture. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the trick is that I'm making the hat too tight. Because that was a little loose on me, and that felt good. But then that always feels goofy to me because it seems like there's too much room on
the outside.
You know what I don't have confidence to do, but I think they look great, is like the full-on like Bob Dylan sort of like half cowboy, half fedora hat, you know? Like the real hipstery kind of just like strong hat choice.
Whatever hat choice you make, you pull off. Sunglasses and hats, they all look good on you.
Well, I think it's just the hat itself looks good, right? And so I just chose to wear it. You know what I mean? I think that's what I'm saying.
It's a head shape. It's like a head shape.
Yeah, I think you got a head and a good face shape for glasses and sunglasses. I've noticed.
I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of hats and sunglasses that would not look great.
I'm noticing that there's a trend that there's a lot of compliments being thrown Charlie's way on this podcast.
Let's get Glenn some compliments over here.
No. That's not what I'm asking for. That's not what I'm asking for.
That's true. Like yesterday, you guys were saying that I was very athletic, and I was thinking you guys are athletic.
It's just something I've noticed. It's okay.
Okay.
As you were.
You know, I'm a jack of all trades and hats. And
athletics, sunglasses.
Athletics and
you dabble in a million things, a million more than I do. I feel like I get very, very good at like a couple things versus you do.
Yeah, I'm bad.
You do a lot of things not that way.
Yes, I do a lot of things not that way.
Average.
Yeah. Yes. Like I'm
like
kind
a true,
of okay.
At dilettante, I think is the term.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is. I've heard that word, but if I'm being honest, I don't know what it is.
It's like somebody who has a lot of like passions, but isn't serious about any of them.
I'm very serious in the moment. And then I'm done for the day and I'm like, great, I'll do that tomorrow. And then I don't, but then I pick it back up 2 weeks later and I'm like, not that good, but I keep going.
I don't think you are that. I think you really learn and get into things and know a lot of stuff. And Glenn, I love your hat.
Thanks, man. Should we talk about this episode?
Sure.
I thought it was pretty fun. I don't remember this being the second episode of the third season. I don't know why, but for some reason this episode...
Because we shot it much later.
Did
and
we?
I think we liked it and pulled it up or something.
Well, a lot of the scenes were shot in Philly,
yeah,
for sure.
But that was at the end.
Which was at the end of our shooting schedule usually. So, yeah.
Did you guys notice something that... So we have a thing now, or we had a thing then, when we would have like two or three scenes before the episode started.
Instead of one single scene.
So there's like one, there's like two scenes. Mm-hmm. There's the scene in the bar where we're all arguing like crazy and Charlie screams. Then we go outside.
Yeah.
Right. Then we come back for essentially a third scene after. Back at the bar where we're actually talking about what we're going to do. And we then at some point just skip past that. And now we just have somebody come in the cold open and say, okay, the episode's about to start because we're going to go try out for the Eagles. But you don't know that we're going to try out for the Eagles for a very long time.
Yeah, for longer than it's unnecessary. Is that arguing, was that a sort of self-aware meta?
Yes.
Like answer to like a criticism of the show. Isn't it funny that we like, what, like 8, 10, 15 episodes into doing our show, or like, well, we better comment on what we're doing.
Just self-reflecting constantly.
But I do appreciate that we doubled down. So people are like, it's the show where they just yell at each other. It's so annoying. And we were like, you know what? Let's start an episode where we're screaming at the top of our lungs.
Let's acknowledge it and then keep doing
and
it.
And really lean into it.
Yeah.
One little thing I had completely forgotten about this episode, which I enjoyed so much, was the capes.
Oh yeah,
people were wearing capes, and I had no recollection of the guy with the lunchbox.
Yeah, he was
whose
great.
Mom
on
made
the
his
bus.
Cape. Who yes. was fucking great?
Yeah. Yeah. Who was that guy?
He's an actor.
Yeah, I don't know. But
he killed
me.
He killed me. And when I'm just talking about the things I like. This is not really interesting.
Philip Newby.
Philip Newby. Okay, where Philip
Newby?
Yes, as Nebbish guy. It says, which I'm assuming was that guy.
I remember him being, now, look, maybe I'm wrong. Can you look it up, Meg? And if not, we'll cut that. I think he was legally blind.
Yeah, I think so.
I remember him saying like on day one, I can't really see. And we were like, right, well, you should definitely come join us. Like that's such a fun character trait for someone trying out for the Eagles.
Yeah, right. To not be able to see.
And he was so funny.
Whose mom made him a cape.
Faison Love is hilarious in the episode.
Do you guys remember Faison? I every time I see Faison in something, I'm like, why is this guy not a massive movie star?
I know why.
I think I know why too. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if this trend sort of carries through his entire acting career, but I'm sure you guys remember this. The very first day that we shot with him, it's not the first scene that we see him in because that was actually in Philly. Mm-hmm. So that was much later. The very first scene that we shot, I believe, was the scene where he calls us all over. And he, you know, gives us the speech right before he introduces Donovan McNabb. And
the speech was so long.
It was like
a page and a half, and it was really funny.
Yeah,
I remember it was really funny. We were really looking forward
to
seeing it.
We spent a lot of time crafting this really funny like speech that he gives to everybody. And Faison, so the way we do things, and not a lot of shows do this, but what we always do is the very first thing we do is we just read the scene. We get together with all the actors that are in the scene. We've got what's called sides, which is just a small version of the scene in script form. And we just read it first before we block it. Well, so we show up to do this scene. We're outside. We've all got our sides and we're all standing around. Except I noticed that Faison didn't have his sides. And I was like, oh, wow. This guy's a pro.
He's off book, as they say in the industry.
He's already off book. And normally you're not off book by that time. But I was like, man, it's a big speech.
It's a big speech. He memorized
it. He must have really memorized
it. It's Monday morning. He took the whole weekend.
Right, exactly. So we show up. We gather around for rehearsal. Faison's there. You know, we're all looking around. And, Savage calls action. He's like, action. Nobody says anything. And And we're like, oh, Faison, that's you. And he's like, oh. And we're like, go. And he's like, wait, he's like, I don't know. Does what, anybody have any side?
He's so like, what do you want me to say?
What do you want me to say? So not only like, did
he didn't read it.
Not right.
He didn't even read
not
it.
Not entirely certain he read the script.
Oh, he definitely didn't read the script. no way.
Showed up to the rehearsal not knowing his lines and didn't even have the sides to prompt his lines.
Yeah. To be very clear, it's not a rehearsal like a week before you film. The rehearsal is just right before you say action and actually roll the cameras.
Pretty yeah. much. Yeah. So you've got maybe 15 minutes between the time you rehearse. Yeah, the 15 yeah, minutes they light it, and then you're
your
shooting
hair
it.
And adjust your shirt, and then yeah, make sure your shoot. Microphone's in your shirt.
And we're like, oh no, oh no, this guy's got a page and a half long speech. He's like, we're screwed. And he didn't know it, and he just improvised a bunch of stuff, and we cut it, you know, down to that little short yes. thing that's in the thing.
Yes,
that's in the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. And it,
God bless him.
And it totally worked. I mean, that's the thing is like, I think that he's, and also he's so lovable and fun, and yeah. he was really cool. It wasn't like he was coming in to be a dick. He was just like, this is the way I do it.
I think there was also a conception that we were an improv show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think people thought we were just like, here's a scenario, let's make up a scene.
Yeah.
Which we were definitely not.
By the way, that would be really funny if he thought that. Did we hire him?
We just made an offer to him.
We just made an offer.
Yeah.
We'd seen the movie Made.
Yeah, an Elf. He's so funny.
And we're like,
funny.
This guy's great.
And it turns out, he's one of the funniest parets of the episode. I mean,
amazing.
It absolutely works. He's just doing his own thing. And we were like, great.
There is oftentimes a thing where like we scripted a whole thing and you do realize, oh, I don't need any of these words. I just need the essence of what these words are trying to get after, which he sort of embodied, which is just like, I just need the energy.
Right.
And the intention, and one sentence can cover this entire speech. By the way, by the time he introduces Donovan McNabb and
Jeffrey
comes out and does that commercial, I mean, I was crying tears.
Yes,
Jeffrey,
laughing,
amazing,
watching
and that's
that.
Why we've used Jeffrey incredible. Year after year after year across shows. I mean, I've used him on Mythic Quest a number of times. We put him in a pilot years ago.
Yep, we've had him play multiple characters on It's Always Sunny, although always as Jeffrey Owens or this mysterious man who we don't know.
He's also played Tiger Woods.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's played Don Cheadle.
But it's always the same actor who presumably is Jeffrey Owens, although he never fesses up to that either.
Yes.
Because he never fesses up to actually having been... what was his name?
Elvin.
Elvin on The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
But one other thing I wanted to bring up about Faison. I'm sure you guys remember that. No, of course you do, because we've joked about it many times. The man could not say the words Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. Donna John the Crab.
Donnie and the Crab.
Donnie and the Crab.
Donnie and the Crab.
Not a big football fan, I think, Faison.
Well, I guess not. Yeah, I guess not. But just, by the way, that is a difficult name to say. Donovan McNabb. I'm having a hard time saying
it. Not that hard.
I'm on pain medication, though, so I have an excuse. But
it's just a name.
Donovan McNabb.
Yeah. Slow it down if you need
just,
to.
Yeah. We'll yeah. Just,
but
just
he would just, if you watch the episode, please watch the episode and watch how he pronounces it, because he never got it right
we
once.
Could go back and get the, we could get the outtakes. It might be worth like putting that out there, because I don't think we put it on like a reel or whatever. He kept calling him Donnie John Crab, McCrab.
Donnie John McCrab. Donovan. I think in the episode he calls him Donovan McNabb.
We used the best
one. It's just
one.
A bunch of M's.
We got the best one.
Yeah. The one that was the closest. Now, a
but
professional.
But it doesn't matter. It's still so funny.
It just doesn't matter. It's kind of better that he doesn't say the real name, because then it's sort of, it's almost implied that he's like not legally allowed to call this man Donovan McNabb because he's not Donovan McNabb.
Right.
So he's got to dance around it.
Yeah.
One thing we do in this episode that we then go on to do a number of times, and we've kind of gotten away from it, I think probably in a good way, because it dates the episode in a weird way, where we are referencing like popular culture, like movies that had come out.
Mm. Yeah, with Invincible.
We're talking about Invincible.
Yeah.
And yet, like, you know, the way that movies kind of come and go,
yeah.
Nobody knows that movie anymore. But since the show's continued on, people might go back and watch these episodes, and you have no idea what we're really talking about.
It's pretty funny that we're talking about it as the New Kids on the Block movie.
Yes, yeah, I do true. Like that. I do like that. And not only do we refer to it as that, but Faison refers to it.
Yeah. Because of the New Kids on the Block movie.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's why they're having to do it. Because
yeah,
they're
getting
so many.
It.
Yeah.
They got badgered into it.
Because that was the plot of the movie, right? Like they had a tryout and then.
Was that based on, that was based on a real thing right now?
Yeah, Vince Papale.
I have to admit, I actually never saw that movie.
Yeah.
I did not even when we were writing the episode, I didn't even watch it. I should have. I did, just didn't.
It's like, it's Rocky in a football.
But it was based on a real story?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know the story?
I do, but the guy, Vince Papale, was a player, was like a track star. So it wasn't like some like rando guy from the neighborhood. He was just older. And then it turns out he was like, can you believe it? He was 31 years old.
But I mean, did the Eagles hold a tryout?
Yeah, they do that.
Oh, they do that?
Yeah, every NFL team still continues to do a version of that.
Did just fucking randos just
show up? Yeah, the whole
like
open tryouts, yeah.
They're like, just in case, you know, there's a farm somewhere and there's a dude working in the barn and he's 7'7", 380, and he's the fastest runner in the world. And they're just hoping that guy shows up.
Yeah. He was just too stupid to realize that football existed because he was kept
in the barn. He had a strict daddy, right? And it was like, I know you can play football, but we need you here on the farm. Yeah. And then,
what football, daddy?
Enough about football. His daddy played football, but he didn't make the Cowboys. And he was heartbroken. And he's like, and then when the son makes the team, he was just like, I just didn't want you to go through the heartbreak, son. Mm-hmm. You know, but then the guy makes the team. But then his heart explodes at 28 years old.
Yeah, because he has thyroid problems. Right, because he's 7'7". I mean, didn't we just establish that? I'm going along with what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he's got a thyroid issue. Vincent Papalius?
Vince Papalia.
Papalia. Oh, no, I was mixing up with Lucas.
Do you remember the refrigerator Perry?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
He played for the Bears, but then also the Eagles.
Did he play for the Eagles?
Yes.
I remember him on the Bears.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just so big, he could just run over everyone. I remember
he scored like a huge touchdown that one.
In the Super Bowl.
The Patriots versus the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And the Pats lost like... It was like 60-3 or something.
46-10 or something like that.
Oh, Lord.
No, it was like 60-3. Look up what that was. What year was that?
It was a beatdown.
Patriots-Bears Super Bowl.
1986.
1985.
85 season, 86.
Wow. I mean, look.
46-10.
46-10.
No.
I have a weird thing for that.
I feel like that's what you
said. I remember
said.
Like football scores and
I feel
things.
Like that's exactly what you said.
I dramatized it.
You sure did.
Well, because it was
60-3.
It was a beatdown. I think that it was actually worse than the score.
Yeah.
Like, I think they kind of let him score at the end. They just didn't care.
Mm. I just gave up. Ouch.
Yeah.
You know what we gave up on? Completely forgot about the character of Doyle McPoyle.
Yeah.
I did not remember there was a Doyle McPoyle.
Yeah, there's a Doyle.
Maybe he died from that shot. That bullet wound.
I was laughing so hard at you laughing because this is all happening in the moment where they're just walking out of the RV and you're commenting on each one of them as they come down and you're seeing them for the first time in real life.
That was all
Charlie's like literally laughing as he's doing it, but it just works.
It works as the character.
You're out here. Yeah. In the world.
You're in the world. Oh, that's the sun.
Yeah. Oh, good. You brought your fife.
Yeah. Actually, what is that a jar of?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What is that a jar of? But once again, the props department doing like an amazing job of like putting together a group of weird things and then you not seeing them until you're seeing them for the first time.
Even just the coverage of that, though, I kind of was like, oh, right. We really stopped down to see all those people come out.
Yeah.
Which I feel like maybe we wouldn't do now, but maybe we would.
Did we play the Hawaiian, the McPoyle Hawaiian theme song?
Yeah.
Every time, pretty much every time we see the McPoyles, we play this like Hawaiian cowboy.
Country. Yeah, Hawaiian cowboy.
Is that the name of the song? Hawaiian cowboy? I feel like it was something
maybe
like that.
Maybe it was just like, it was a, you know, there was this library of cheap music that we could use, and it was probably listed as Hawaiian Cowboy or something like that.
I feel like it was.
Let's talk about that for a second, because our music, which we love and have been using from day one, we've never had the money to license it and keep it ours, like to write music and then to have it be like owned by the show. So there's a company that owns this library, and they just license it out to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
So like there was a year where Madden, the Madden football game, the Sunny theme was there, was the Madden theme. And right now on Minecraft, I hear Sunny music in the background of my house. I'm like, what's going on? Like, my kid's watching Sunny. It's on Minecraft videos. They're using Sunny music on Minecraft videos.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and
it's a very heavily used catalog.
It's in commercial. You hear it in commercials all the time.
Yeah. It used to upset me because I'd be like, oh man, dang it. Why didn't we just like have a theme song that was just ours, you know? But I think maybe it ended up working in our favor because like every time those songs play, people think of Sunny.
Eventually, yeah. Eventually that happened.
It's like free advertising.
It's like free advertising.
If there's an association with the show.
Yeah.
But like Madden is way bigger than Sunny. So people would be like,
Steve Madden, like the purse company? Like, what are you talking about?
The shoe guy? Steve.
What are you talking about?
No, you're absolutely right. That game's way bigger than Sunny.
Yeah, so
sure.
People will be like, oh, that's the music. I don't know. But it was always funny to me that, like, look around. All the shows that you watch and know, you're like, oh, no, they didn't use that theme song on a Tide commercial.
No.
Ours is the only one.
Yeah.
The only one where they're like, oh, Cheers. Literally, they now are using the Cheers song on a commercial.
Yeah, what did I see that
but
on?
That must have cost them a fortune.
Seriously.
To pay Paramount. A fortune.
Who wrote that theme song? Song to Cheers? It's a good theme song.
It's a
the Golden
great.
Girls one
really
is amazing.
It's incredible.
And that guy was like, he was just like a pop artist.
Yeah. And his version of it is strange. Like the woman singing it is much a cooler version.
Thank you for being a friend.
Gary Portnoy.
Gary Portnoy is Cheers?
Is Cheers.
Is he also Golden Girls? He might be. It might be the same guy. Or maybe it's Andrew Young or something.
The heart is true.
I don't think so.
Pop guy, yeah.
Like, so you're saying the guy who did the Golden Girls theme song, he has a version of that song.
Yeah, his version of that song
totally
is not. Yeah, well, it's
What's
him
the name
singing
of the song?
It. Thank you for being a friend.
Thank you for being
Andrew
a friend.
Gold.
Andrew Gold.
It's in his name.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It took him about an hour to write.
It
always does.
Yeah.
It always does. Now,
that was the cocaine.
I'm going to get out ahead of this. Because I know I've told you guys this story before, but there was a time where I sat next to the drummer for the band Survivor on a flight. Right. And I got to chatting with this guy, super nice guy, looked like one of those guys who was like, oh, you're still rocking like the 80s hair band look, but you're like in your late 50s, you know, but whatever. Anyway, the guy was super nice. And he actually told me the story of how the band Survivor wrote the song Eye of the Tiger for Rocky III, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Club of Nine. So. Stallone had actually called the lead singer of Survivor and left him a voicemail. And he was like, you know, beep.
Hey, this is Sly Stallone. And I really like your music. And I'd love for you to write the theme song to the new Rocky movie that I'm doing, right?
So this guy gets the message, gets the voicemail, and he's like, that's my buddy, like, fucking with me. You know what I mean? So he pays no attention to it. Gets a call, gets another voicemail like a couple weeks later. Hey,
what's going on? You know, it's Sly Stallone. I really want to use it, you know.
And yes and no. I feel like this collaboration could be a real knockout.
So, but again, he just thinks it's like a, you know, his friends like fucking with him. So he doesn't call the guy back. Then he gets a call from his agent. His agent's like, dude, what are you doing? You know, or his booking agent or manager or whoever. He's like, Sly Stallone is like trying to get in touch with you. He wants you guys to write the new theme song. And he's like, oh shit, that's real? So then he gets on the phone with Stallone. Stallone's like, you know, basically tells him, I need a theme song for Rocky III. I think you guys are perfect for it. I'd like for you guys to write one. But here's what I need. I need you to write two songs because, you know, what if I like one over the other? I need you to write two songs. We'll pay you to write two songs. So these guys get in the studio. They spend about 2 weeks crafting the most epic song ever, right? And then they get to the very end of it, they realize it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and they've got to turn in both songs the next day to Sly Stallone. And listen, when you tell Sly Stallone you're hitting a deadline, you better hit it because Sly's going to come after you. You know what I mean? With the Expendables. So they realize, they're like, oh shit, we have to write like a second song. And they're like, oh, we'll just bang something out real quick. And over the course of the next like hour or so, they just like wrote Eye of the Tiger and just did Eye of the Tiger in like an hour or like 2 hours. And they're like, all right, let's go to bed. At least we'll give them two, but clearly the other one is better. He played, and of course, the rest of that is they played both the songs and Sly loved Eye of the Tiger. And they were like, what? We were just fucking around. Like that was, you know. And then the other song he ended up using, I believe, in the movie Fist.
Fist?
Yeah, he did a movie called Fist.
He did?
Yeah, I think
Sly?
So.
Fist?
I think so. Yeah.
Man likes the theme.
Yeah.
What was that about?
I'm nervous.
Yeah, don't, Meg, don't Google that. Because this is all work. This is all work.
It's an acronym, F-I-S-T.
Yeah, it was an acronym.
Yeah, neo-noir crime drama. Weird.
Yeah, so I believe he used that other Survivor song in the movie Fist.
I wonder what song that was.
I don't know, actually. I don't know. Anyway, the guy from Survivor was very nice, the drummer. I liked him. He told some good stories. That's the only one I remember.
Do you want to tell one of the good ones?
Listen, man.
He's come on a lot of pain pills.
Come on, man.
I'm on a lot of pain pills right now. I'm not thinking straight.
Yeah. Okay? What do you got?
What do you got? Tell us a good story. I am curious to know, if you guys, I know you've done acid before, right? Do you not want to talk about this?
No, yeah.
Okay. Have you done acid?
Yes.
You did acid?
Uh-huh.
When did you do acid? And what happened?
Right after high school.
Just once?
Twice.
You've done it twice.
Yeah.
Okay. When what were the circumstances, and do you have any funny stories surrounding that? Because
yeah,
it's a fun drug.
No. What was the name of the? Why am I blanking on the name of the music series that was big when we were?
Lollapalooza.
Oh yeah, music series.
Jesus Christ. Well, my mind went to Coachella, and I couldn't get it out of my head. But yeah, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
I did some acid at Lollapalooza.
Yeah. Is that fun?
No.
What year?
No. The 1996?
96.
Could have been. It was the Beastie Boys.
No, that was 94.
Oh, so I was in high school.
That was 94 because I was at that Lollapalooza. Probably not the same one. I went to the one in Atlanta.
Yeah, I don't think you came to Philly.
No.
No. No. I mean, it's just not for me.
No, it's not your thing.
I might maybe try it again later when my kids are older and I can get in, like, I want to break through the matrix and see what's on the other side kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I think I want to go on a guided one at this point, right?
Like, I want to see the destruction of my ego before my very eyes.
Yes.
I don't want to just, take like 3 tabs of acid and drink 16 Coors Lights and then, throw up.
But you were also probably like, you're fighting it. You know what I mean? Like when it kicks in, you got to lean into it. You know, when you start fighting it, that's when the fear kicks up.
Yeah.
And when the fear gets in, then you're fighting the fear.
It doesn't stop for 13, 15 hours.
Depends on how much it took, or years.
Not
depending
great.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I think you've had some good trips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But, and some bad. Like, I ate too many mushrooms once at a Fish concert in 96.
You went to a Fish concert?
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Oh, you were big into Fish, aren't you?
What?
We were at the Clifford Ball.
He was a jam band guy.
Oh, yeah. I was there with me and my pals. And, oh, man, it's so, like, we were so low rent. Like, we went with this other group of kids, and they, like, they were, like, kind of rich kids. They had a Volvo. They had, like, a nice, like, tent and shit. We had, like, a tarp. And then we were like, hey, we're gonna try to make a little tent out of this tarp. Can we use your frying pan? They were like making like pancakes and shit, and we like fucking totally fucked this kid's frying pan up trying to like hammer
his bike.
We're like, we didn't mean to. We're like, I'm so sorry, dude. I ruined your nice frying pan. And then we got our hands on like an extraordinary amount of very powerful mushrooms and ate way too many of them. I remember passing out like within the first 5 minutes, throwing up.
Oof.
And then like when I came to, I was already tripping 1,000 times harder than I already had. And this was within the first 30 minutes. I was like, okay, this is going to be quite a ride. And I remember just trying to like hang on to my sanity for my dear life. Like at one point we're in the concert, and we're just kind of like sitting on a lawn, and all of a sudden like everyone turns around. They're looking like right at us.
Oof.
And we're like,
that's, you don't want, yeah.
Why is this happening? What the fuck is happening? Only to realize there's like a marching band like moving like right behind us. Like, oh, we don't realize what's going on. I remember another one of my buddies said, like, he's like, man, the cutest girl came up to you and asked you for a cigarette. And all you said was like, yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, I'm all about it. And just kind of wandered off, you know. But you know, mostly it was good. And then, I don't know, I think I would do it again once I got through this parenting phase of my life. And my kid was, I would hate for the fear to kick in and be like, oh, shit, I've compromised my brain and I got a kid out there. But I do think... I don't know. I think it's like something everyone should do a little bit of.
I kind of do too, actually. I think under the right circumstances, I think it's it can be a very, very eye-opening experience. I mean, like,
you've done ayahuasca. You've done a lot of psychedelics, right?
Yeah. I know.
You had to think about that, which is interesting.
Well, no, because I haven't done like an ayahuasca ceremony. I did a ceremony with a shaman and a bunch of other people, and took something that was actually a combination of ayahuasca and psilocybin. So, but it wasn't like a super high dose. So I wasn't like tripping balls because it was my first ceremony.
No, but weren't you doing one of those things, which sounds awesome and also disgusting and terrible at the same time, where you were like shitting in a bucket and then throwing up?
No.
And then also, one of those?
No.
Because I know people have gone through that. We're like, no, man, it's awesome. You go through like this guided tour in your house and like you shit your brains out, but you got a bucket. So you do it into the bucket and then you also vomit. I'm like, okay, where's the good part?
It's very spiritual.
It's super spiritual. Like you really like see, you right. know, you what's inside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's now in a bucket.
Charlie, I don't feel creatively good about the episode where we talk about Invincible. I feel creatively good about the episode that aired in 2002 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I felt like the podcast version wasn't, we didn't.
We got about half. I was listening to a little bit of it and I just don't think it was very good. I think it was boring. And I want to blame it on Glenn. Well, no, that's not true. I don't want to blame it on Glenn. I want to blame it on Glenn's busted collarbone.
Well, yeah. I mean, I want to... I got three options, right? I can blame it on me. I don't want to do that.
No.
I can blame it on you, but you're here.
I'm here, yeah.
But Glenn has left and he's not here, so I could blame it on Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn's not here. I think we should blame it on Glenn.
And to be a good friend, I could say, well, he was on pain meds for his broken collarbone, so we could blame it on that.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So here we are, and it's a different day, and we're wearing different clothes, and we're talking about the thing that we were talking about. But
most importantly, Glenn isn't here. Just to be clear for the people who aren't watching the
show, Glenn's not here. He has a thing. He can't even be here.
So we're going to have somebody who's going to call in, who's going to take his place.
Well, we're getting a call.
We're getting a call.
Are we getting a call?
Yes.
All right.
Welcome to the Always Sunny podcast. You're on with Rob and Charlie.
Hello?
Hello! Well, here's the thing, special caller. So we were talking about this episode, The Gang Gets Invincible. It's one where the gang tries out for the Philadelphia Eagles that happened in season 3. And we didn't do a good job. The podcast wasn't funny. Now, we've gotten rid of Glenn. He had to go somewhere. He couldn't stick around. But we thought we'd take this special call.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, I really appreciate it. I'm happy to
Your
pop
voice
by.
That is so loud. Can you turn her down in my headphones? Is that not so shrieky in your ears?
You guys, do you want me to come in? Because
no.
This is the very last minute. I'm happy to come in. I hear that you're recording now. So
how far are you?
That way
Are you close by?
I'm in the... I don't know where you are, and I'm not really coming in. that was just meant to be funny. I don't have any plans to pop by. Guys, this is really smart. I feel good. It feels very last minute, but I'll take it. I'll take advantage of it.
Let's tell the listener at home or the watcher in their probably home or office who we have on the line here. If you haven't guessed the voice. And yeah. I haven't, and I haven't. Who is this?
You guys, it's the star of your television show. The only woman, the one and only, the Big Bird herself. And I'm here, and I'm happy to be here. It does feel like a bit of an afterthought, but that's okay. I'll let it go. I've been waiting a long time for this. Thank you for having me.
It is most definitely an afterthought. However,
television's Caitlin Olsen, people.
It's television's Caitlin Olsen.
Caitlin, do you remember being in this episode? Do you remember being in the show at all?
I remember moments. Listen, this is the episode where I dressed up. What was my name?
Cole.
Cole, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he got me all dressed up, I turned around and looked in the mirror and I was like, oh, you've made me look like David Hornsby.
Yeah, you did come across looking like Hornsby. Vibe. Cricket, for the people at home who don't know him by the first name.
Something happens when you put a goatee on me and take away my hair. I look exactly like David Hornsby.
Well, one of the good things about having you on for the first time is maybe we could even go back to the beginning of the show. We don't have to talk about Invincible. We could talk about the beginning. What was your experience auditioning for the show? Because I think the first few episodes, we got some good feedback there. People like to hear some of those stories from the beginning.
Yeah, the first few episodes were stinkers for me because you guys had already written them. And you did a great job of writing for your characters, which is why I wanted to do the show in the first place, because it was so well written. But not such a great job for Dee, because she was kind of a wet blanket. There was a lot of like, you guys, you got to stop having fun.
Yeah, we covered all this. Now listen, we covered this on the podcast, but you don't listen to the podcast. I know, but you don't listen to the podcast.
What about the very first time you came into the audition room? What do you remember from that experience?
Did you feel instantly in love, right?
Do you even remember Rob in the room?
No, so what I do remember is as soon as I got in my car, I called my manager because I thought it was such a good, I wanted it so bad, and I was like, I think that was really good, and she goes, were any of them cute? And I was like, not really.
good.
It was not love at first sight. I really fell in love with Rob's ego, I think, during the first season.
A lot of confidence in that McElhenney.
He was in control. Yeah, I felt safe. You know what I mean? Like somebody was in charge and funny. So,
yeah.
Not too attractive. Now I am. Now I find him very handsome.
It only took 17 years.
Yeah.
Really, to get to that place.
It's a long time. But I walked into the room and I instantly, all of you were in there and you were all participating and laughing and like just having fun and encouraging me to have fun with it. And I remember thinking, this is the best audition experience ever, because they usually are absolutely terrible.
Well, I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that we were actors and we were compassionate to how shitty that situation normally is. And then also you were awesome, so it was really fun.
Yeah, we were laughing because you were funny.
Yeah. Oh, you're sweet. I was having fun, and then I remember Rob saying, okay, just put the script down and just improvise do the scene with Charlie, but just you guys say whatever you want. And that was like, what? It was super fun.
Are you calling us? Are you in your car?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm outside.
Oh, you're outside. But are you pulled over talking to us, or are you like en route?
I'm en route. I'm driving. I'm being safe. Are you worried about my safety? I'm being very safe, Charlie. What is this?
Yeah, where were you headed? Tell us about your day.
I'm just trying to paint the picture.
Yeah, paint
the
picture here.
I'm trying to get the big picture here for the people at home.
Oh. Let's get them all the information. So I took one son to school. She took the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? I came to work. Now, I don't know where you went.
Are you going somewhere for pleasure or for business?
Today, I dropped off one son. I stopped and got the coffee, and then I went and got a facial.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to take care of that face. I got a facial, and now I'm on my way to have lunch with a friend, and then I have a doctor appointment in the afternoon, and then I'm going to pick up both boys.
This is great. Thank you. Now I understand your schedule here. This is really good. Is there anything you want to promote? Or
Rob, do you get worried? Are you the jealous type? Are you like, now who's the friend she's having lunch with? And is it the same person who gave her the facial? And what's happening here? Like,
what kind of facial was it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you don't have a jealous bone in your body, right?
I don't think so. Caitlin can speak to that. I don't really. No,
I don't know. I'm being blue collar.
Well, because Caitlin, Caitlin had a sex scene in a movie she just shot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I had a sex scene with Woody Harrelson. In the movie, I told him all about it in great detail, and he was like, "Cool, cool, I gotta go." He just was very distracted. He didn't really care.
Well,
you can try and make him jealous, but it doesn't really work.
Yeah, well, because you had a sex scene with Woody Harrelson, he wasn't, you know, like yeah. If you had a sex scene with Brad Pitt, he would have been like, "No, hang on a second."
Well, did you see that sex scene with Woody Harrelson in True Detective? I mean, that was.
What are you saying? Look, I'm not saying Woody Harrelson's not a sexy man, but I'm just saying you're probably.
He's a very attractive man.
Yeah. A long time vegan. Long time vegan. This is just the information I know, Caitlin. I'm just trying to fill the airtime here.
I see. No, well, here's a fun fact about Rob that probably I think most people know. He's very good friends with Dax Shepard, who is sort of an ex-lover of mine.
What? Yeah. Yeah. I did not know that.
Well, not sort of. I mean, you were hardcore lovers, were you not?
I did not know that.
It was pretty hardcore. I was trying to, you know, be nice. But, Rob and Dax are really good friends.
You like men with masculinity inferiority complexes.
Yes,
so interesting.
Men who appear to be confident but are masking severe insecurities.
Yeah, or trying to prove so hard that they're a man.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, but then perfectly open to talk about it with other men. That's the exciting part. That's the missing piece.
So they have it all. They have it all. They got it all.
Oh, sure.
That's exactly.
Both hard and soft, you might say.
Yeah. Not too hard, not too soft.
Not too hard, not too soft.
Boys to men. They become men.
Yeah.
Caitlin, is there anything about doing this episode you remember? Do you remember being in Philly when we were shooting? And that was like Fred Savage directing days and him like just partying like a maniac. I mean, we had good times in Philly.
I believe, did Fred get... He was not arrested because he didn't do anything crazy, but I think he was pulled over by the police, or the driver was pulled over by the police. Because Fred was hanging out the window or the roof.
I think he just got yelled at.
Car. Like,
yeah, he climbed up the top of a limo. Why we were in the limo, climbed, I don't know.
It wasn't our limo. I don't know whose limo it was. I don't know why was Fred
in it then?
I don't know. Maybe it was Fred's limo. He climbed out the top of it while it was in transit. And was like climbing on the back of the car.
There's something that happens in Philadelphia where everyone kind of loses their minds and does things maybe they wouldn't do at home. That's what I remember about shooting.
Yeah, no, this is 12 years ago.
I do remember season one filming in Philly and going to just the bar in the hotel we were in and meeting your buddy. You had somebody.
Another guy she used to.
Another guy that you probably used to date.
That would be Ian, right?
Ian,
That was my college boyfriend.
And we were drinking a lot of Yinglings, but I don't think you guys weren't together yet, right? No. Not season one. No.
No. No.
Is it fun going to Philly, or is it a little bit stressful because you've got to like deal with Rob's family the whole time, and you got to be on?
We don't actually see his family that much when we go because it's such a whirlwind. I love going to Philly. Philly's got great restaurants and great people, and all Rob's friends from high school are there, and I love it. We only stopped going regularly because we started having kids, right? And it just became a little bit too much of a nightmare.
And because Rob would go on talk shows and tell people where we were filming, and we would get so swarmed that it felt downright dangerous. Where we're like,
yeah, well, remember the last time we were there, we were in a van and people were, the van was moving. We were driving and people were pounding on the windows and trying to pass like pieces of paper in for us to sign. We were like, someone's going to get run over. And then some random man showed me his penis and offered me a beer.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. It was like one or the other. Both of them, no.
This is why Rob's not jealous, because it's nonstop harassment for you, and he has to deal with it so much.
Yeah, I mean, well, and...
Was that random man Danny?
Can we talk about
that? Was it Danny?
Can we talk about the penis?
I felt bad, but
you didn't want to out him. Hey, Caitlin, you want a beer? Yeah. Oops, it fell out.
Whoopsie.
Oopsie.
Okay, so what's your favorite episode?
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
What a stupid question,
I know,
man.
It's terrible.
Don't answer that.
No, don't answer it.
What
don't
are
answer
you doing,
it.
Man? What's your favorite episode?
That's the worst. And that's, you're not, you know, that's the worst.
It's the worst.
I have moments. I love when Charlie and I get to pair up and do things.
Kayla,
like,
we
thought we were human meat.
We were just talking about this, that you and I have not, I feel like we don't have enough of those things, and they're always so fun and funny, and we don't get to do it enough. I think next season we gotta.
Yeah, I pop feel some like maybe that's why they're some of my favorite, is because it just doesn't happen that often. But those are always really fun. I don't know. I just like when. I mean, I love things like you guys drowning me in a bog, almost. You know, anything that's like crazy. Those are just fun.
You were a trooper to get in that bog. That was nasty, gross stuff, and you fully submerged.
I'm not that much of a trooper. Whatever. Please, I'm doing it because I know it's going to be hilarious. It's very selfish of me.
Yeah, you climbing over Mary Elizabeth was really fucking funny. Oh man!
Now you were pregnant through a lot of this show, right? I mean, we did a whole season where you were 8 months pregnant. What's that like?
Yeah. So. The P. Diddy boat dance with the inflatable guy that kind of blew up and got famous. I just remember being angry the whole time. First of all, we were in Long Beach, and it wasn't it like 2 o'clock in the morning,
and it was and it was cold. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was so hell bent on moving my body with the way that thing was moving, and I was pissed off because secretly I was 6 months pregnant and I couldn't bend backwards as far as I wanted to and like snap myself back up. And I just remember the whole time just being angry. Like, this isn't working. My stupid baby in there. It's ruining everything.
Yeah. This is all tracking. This is all tracking. It's sort of like when, for the viewer and listener out there who doesn't know that when Caitlin, in one of my favorite moments of the show, she leaves the shoe store and she falls into the car and she bangs her head. That is her. And that's a real car and a real dent. And she said, I'm doing this shit.
Yeah. Not only that. And then you did one take. It was amazing. We were like, oh my God, she broke her neck, but you were okay. You were okay. And then we said, look, don't do another take. We'll get one for safety. We'll have the stunt person do it. She's here to do it. And she did. The stunt woman didn't do it half as good as you did it.
No, because she did it safely.
Because the stunt person's like, yeah, if you do it the way Caitlin does it,
I'm going to break my neck.
Yeah, you could be paralyzed.
Yes.
Well, listen, I was angry because she was not funny and she wasn't going to flail her body in a funny way. And I needed you guys to give me a chance. And I knew I only had one chance, so I just really went for it.
Yeah.
That's not a chiropractic. After that, but it was totally worth it.
Now, how many bones have you broken over the course of the run of this?
I'm going to let husband and wife talk for a second because, Caitlin, I have to pee. I can't hold my pee. I've been holding my pee for so long.
Charlie's going to go pee.
I'll be back.
All right.
Yeah, you got to take care of your kidneys. When you got to pee, just let it go. I get it.
Listen, the podcast. Listen. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone. Now, listen. This is what I've always wanted. I want the podcast to just be me, right? And I guess
can
you can call in from time to time.
And me, right? And Megan.
But Megan won't say a goddamn thing back there.
Megan, jump in. Right now, it's the three of us.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Do you remember Rob peeing on you in Philly when he got too drunk? That night?
No.
What?
Oh, wait. Was it Philly or New York?
It was Philly.
Oh, yes. This is when we were secretly dating.
Are you wondering which? Yes, it was when we were secretly dating.
Have you peed
on her multiple times? Like, which city was it in? Or you just, do you remember the event? But
peed on by, listen, you think you're the first person to pee on me? Please. Yes, I do. We were secretly dating, and you got so drunk. We all went out to dinner. You guys even went out after that. I went back to my room, and you came like drunkenly knocking on my door a couple hours later. And you answered it.
And I was like, "Hey, baby."
Yeah, I was. The bed was soaked, and you tried to say you had sweat.
No, like, yeah. It was the opposite. Like, it was the opposite. You were like, man, you really sweat a lot. And I was like, yeah, I guess I did. Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
I did
no,
sweat.
Cut the shit.
No, it was not. You peed asked me, and you were like, no, I dump sweat sometimes. I'm like, that would have come from all over your body, not just by your penis.
Oh, you're talking about when Rob pissed in the bed?
Yes.
Was this the episode we were talking about it? Okay, so yeah.
Oh, was this episode that we were talking about?
It was actually, no, the one before, right. but then you brought it up again, yeah.
Well, yeah, yes.
Let me reiterate, I've never listened to your podcast.
I know. I know. But you don't watch the show. You don't really watch episodes of the show, right? I mean,
no, I love watching episodes of the show. There was a period of like 4 or 5 years where you didn't want to watch it because you were in the editing room so much, and so we didn't sit down and watch them together. But I've seen every episode. I even like them. I know this sounds weird, but like if it'll just randomly come on somewhere, I get sucked in. I think they're hilarious. Because I also don't remember, we've done so many of them, and
we often
break off into A and B stories. I don't always remember what happens in the episode besides what I was doing.
I'm finding how much I've forgotten, too. And I thought I knew them all like the back of my hand just because of the amount of time we spent in the editing room. But it's interesting going back, watching all these. Caitlin, from day one, you're great on the show.
Thank you, Charlie.
Rob gets a lot better, but you from day one.
It took me a while to warm into it. Caitlin, I was learning from the masters. I was learning from people like Caitlin and Charlie.
You just needed to get fat. That's all.
That's all I needed.
Yeah. You found suddenly you were hilarious.
No, I think you're funny in those first seasons too. You just don't think it, which is why we lean into Rob.
Bob's weird. He thinks he's not funny or like the least funny of all of us, and that's so stupid.
I know.
So
that's funny. Why we lean and we see that wound and we jump right on it, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's objectively true. I think it's objective. But I'm a lover of comedy, and I can see that you guys are funnier than me, and I'm okay with that.
Well, you're right. That's true. I'm funnier than you. But
yes.
That's true, yeah.
You're very smart.
I need something.
Yeah, smart guy.
Well, I guess we've run out of things.
Caitlin, thanks for calling in. Are you where you have to be? Are you?
You know what? Thanks for making my ride more fun. I'm about 5 minutes away. When do you guys want me to come in? Because it'd be so fun to talk in
Megan, let's get her off the line.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and cut this call, okay?
Okay.
I'll pop by.
Okay, sorry, you're breaking up. We're losing the connection here.
You're driving through the canyon? You're driving through the canyon?
Bye, Megan. You're my favorite.
Bye, Caitlin.
Bye. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's better with Glenn.
It's better with Glenn.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just that, you know, he was just low energy for that one episode, but you don't want to deal with that.
You know why? Because Caitlin's nice and happy. Glenn's angry, and it's really interesting.
And that's when it's fun, but when he's all low energy because he's like, why am I broken? My bones are broken. It's not fun.
I was scared that I hit a tree. Now my collarbone's broken and I'm sad.
Yeah, I know.
Even that would be more interesting than just sitting there just low energy. Come on, man. And look, I'm not going to blame that on the collarbone.
I'm going to talk about football.
I'm going to blame that on the drug. He was on massive amounts of some kind of downer.
I'm on drugs and I can't make a podcast in this way.
But I think we can both agree it is better with Glenn than it would be with Caitlin.
Oh, I mean...